And the root server could very easily give us a head fake to go to a machine it's not on, get the lame delegation, start back to the root server, which gave us only the name of this machine, so we now have to go back to the root server to get the server name for that name, go to that server to get the A record for the server, so we can go ask the real server for this information. Most likely this would have failed altogether. What you're going to have here, my bet is something that works sometimes and fails sometimes. It's going to be erratic. And you're going to, and this is one you were asking earlier, Kathy, I think it was you, wasn't it, that was asking about a file full of lame delegations? This could be an example of a case where that could happen. Somebody's using your DNS server to access this site. Every time they click it, it's going to put a lame delegation in your log. Because your server is going to figure out that it's lame and log it. The reason it's logging it is so that you as the operator might figure out that it's lame, get tired of those log messages, and send a message to hostmaster@sysinc.net and tell him he's got trouble. Fix it. And that's why you put in here the email address with @ implied right here, name and... If anybody figures out, like we just did, let's say we'd been in this class and figured this out and he wasn't here to see it personally. We say, you got trouble. Or more to the point, this guy, we got a user who's hitting this site all the time and our log is filling up with these lame delegations and we're tired of it. We just send him email to this address saying, we found a problem in your DNS. It appears that your name servers are not really the way you say. Got a couple of other problems, and that is he says NS1 and NS2, SoSyncNet, are the name servers. That's not what the root says, is it? The internet says it's SoSyncNet and NS.OSyncNet. So there's a lot of discrepancies in this. And those discrepancies can all cause trouble.
Would any of those discrepancies cause not to go to this?
Absolutely. Because email would try to look this up, get a lame delegation, and say, I can't resolve the host name and bounce the mail. I can't get it through.
You mind doing one more?
No, I don't mind at all, but I want to first... This one is very complicated. It was a pretty big first step. I didn't know it was going to be quite this big on our first time out. What I want to know is, has everybody got in mind this concept of going to the root server to find the piece of information and walking down? No? Okay, let's walk through it one more time. We started this out in life with only knowing that we wanted to know SoSync.net. That's what we wanted to know. We wanted to know what's the A record for SoSync.net. Because we want to FTP there or something. And to do that, we have to know its IP address, which is its A record. So I'm doing manually with NSLookup each individual single step that a resolver would just do all these real fast one after another. I'm splitting it out so you can see each step. So the first thing I will do is ask a root server. This is the thing I just have to know. I know the root server's address. So I ask the root server about SoSyncNet, expecting to find out what name servers really know the answer. When I ask that question, I got this answer from the root server. And from the root server, he said, there are two name servers that know. SoSync.net, which is a little circular, that's what I'm trying to find, and NS.OSync.net.
How does it know your name server name?
It knows your name and address because they're on the form you send in when you register, and we'll go through that in a little bit.
Why did you go to A and post it?
You should get this same answer from everyone.
Bill?
Yes.
This is probably a stupid question. Under the OSS8.net, it has NS period. What does that mean?
That's a first level, second level, third level name. That's just like www or whatever. It means name server machine. That's why they used NS, but you can use anything you want.
Yeah, that's just something that they have set up.
That's right. In other words, OSSInc, and that's a different machine. It's not the one we want. We want the NS.OSSInc.net machine. So do you understand that? That we went to the root server and it told us the names of these two name servers. According to the registration that was sent in when this name, cuscomp.com, was registered with the internet, on that form it lists two name servers. These are the two that are listed. The rule is that you promise to make those be the ones. And that's what hasn't quite happened here. But we're following along, good little resolver, following the rules. And the first one, for some reason, we only got one A record back here. So we're saying, okay, we got two to pick from and no real reason why we would pick one over the other. Normally we'd just pick the first one. But we have the address of one given to us, so we can leave a step out. We don't have to go back and get its address. We know it. So that's enough to bias us to go there first. So we're going to use ns.ossinc.net. We're going to ask that server the same question. When we asked that server the same question, however, we got an unexpected result. The internet and the root servers promised us this server knew the answer. But the server says, I'm not authoritative. It says, but, and I don't know anything about any records for any cuscomp.com. And then, as an extra, I mean it, it says, you could go back to the root servers and check. That's where you got need to be if you really want to know and want an answer on this.
Rather than just going to the IP address, he wants to make sure he sees an authoritative response first.
Absolutely. Well, he went to the IP address of the server, and that server says, I don't know. This was us doing that lookup that just I showed you about right here. That's the one that was a surprise. So I went here, he gave us two root servers. Now I said, ask the same question here. And we're ahead of the game. We're really early in this. If I back up, this is really where we are. The first thing we did was cuscomp.com at the root server. That's where we started. We innocently said, tell me the servers to look for. And he said, well, you got two, but our bias, because he gave us a number of one, was this. So the next thing we did is the top line here. We said, ask the same question of that server. At that point, we expected to be done. We expected to get the answer. Instead of getting the answer, we got told this server knows nothing. Upon getting told that server knows nothing, we had no choice but to do one of two things, either bail out on lame delegation and quit, or we still had this other server name even if we didn't have its A record. So we do have a shot to go back and try to find it out. However, that's where we get here. So now we're going back to the root server because we need the A record for this guy because it didn't come from the other one. So now we're starting the process on this. This is like a whole distraction. We have to go over here to get the A record so we can go ask the server. So we go to the root server. He gives us two servers again. And if I go back to my first screen here, so we asked the root server for his A record. Now that we have his A record, now we have the server name, we ask that server for his A record. And he does give us an authoritative response, and now, at long lengthy last, we have the A record of the second server we were told knew the answer to our original question. And now, we have enough information to ask this question of the second server. And upon asking that question of the second server, we actually get the answer we had expected to get from the other server before we found out it was out in the weeds and didn't know. And this, all the way back in the beginning, is what we came for. We wanted to know the information for cuscomp.com. That's how we started this all.
give up before it ever got there.
Some systems would not follow this all the way through. Some would. I wanted to follow it all the way through so you could see how, if you don't do what I just did, you'd never know what was wrong. You'd just get bounced email. You'd get people telling you, sometimes I can get in, sometimes I can't. I will be glad to try another one. What I want first, this one is so complicated, I want to be sure everybody really understands what we just did. Because actually, if you understand this one, the rest of them will be pretty easy. But the key is to realize that you have to go to the root server and work your way down to an authoritative server for every piece of information you need to know. And sometimes you can be on your way to one goal and suddenly have a missing piece of information that you have to, like, oh shoot, put that all off this. Now I got to go do this one, and then I can come back and pick this one up and go on with it. And this one's an example of all of that. And sometimes you can get to what's supposed to be an authoritative server and it's not. And that's just plain an error. It's setting up your DNS, it's registered as the internet that this machine knows, and it doesn't. More to the point, when I get these records and you say these are my name servers, they should be the ones the internet says. And they aren't. You say two machines here, NS1SoZinc.net and NS2SoZinc.net.
But I don't have those.
Neither one of those does the internet know anything about.
Neither do I.
Well, then why did you put them there?
I don't know.
Oh, good question. I guess that's a good answer. You were as lost as...
That's what you're going to tell me today, right?
You were as lost as we were at that point then.
You can just always go right to the root.
The answer is these two right here should be the same as these two right here. Oh, not so, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. That was our distraction. These two right here.
When you're setting up,
and in theory, you would know that because you put them on the form when you sent it in. If your provider put it on a form and sent it in, then you need to do your NS lookup to the root server to find out what he put there. And there's two reasons you need to do that. Because he's probably put one machine of yours and one machine that's not yours, and that's what happened here. One of these is yours, and one of them's not. You fixed your machine up. You didn't bother to tell anybody on this machine to do anything. That's how you got here. I'm not going to discuss how come it. What I'm going to say is we're looking at one of the most common problems that happens. You've just said it. I had my provider apply for it. After this class, you'll learn not to do that anymore. You'll do it yourself. Because if you do it yourself, then this sort of stuff doesn't happen. But the bottom line is that on this, what you did is you asked him to send it in. He said, do you have a name server? You said yes. You told him about this one. He said, I'll be your secondary. Put himself in the form when he sent it in, because he sent the form in, not you, right?
No,
you sent it in. Oh, okay, but he told you his part and you put it on there then.
I just assumed that.
Oh, you didn't even discuss this. You just stuck this here. Okay, gotcha. You sent the form in. They said, you got that wonderful piece of email about a week later that says, you are in, your name is yours, you're live, you're all set. And you said, well, not quite all set, I got to hurry up and stick a DNS database on my machine. And I don't know what half of it's supposed to be, so I'll put something in there and hope it's enough. And it kind of worked. And from your machine, it worked great. Because your machine only asked itself and it already knew all the answers. From the rest of the internet, on the other hand, where they had to do all this work, we have these opportunities for trouble. I'm making a joke, and I'm really not picking on you. I'm trying, because this is a terrific example by accident that we've stumbled into of exactly how come DNS issues arise, and I'm sure that you have seen the results of this. People can't get you email sometimes. Sometimes they can.
Can't get email from outside of the SOS.
Right. And you can't FTP or World Wide Web. Or, and every so often somebody gets through and it's like a miracle and now you're really confused and you get into that it works sometimes and it doesn't work sometimes state. And this would definitely do that.
That iPad program.
And it would all be the iPad's fault in the end. Yes, I'm sure of that too. That damn iPad DNS, I think, is how it would be said. But the problem is, this is the way you got into it. The way you got into it administratively is a useful exercise to walk through too. You had a form to send in. It said you needed two, so you put yours and you made one up from somebody you thought would say yes. Then you never asked him to do anything. And of course, his machine reflects that. His machine says, "I don't know. Never heard of it before." And then when you got here, these two NS records, that's what should be here.
Well, there I just guessed when I was filling out that.
Bottom line, when you put this in, what this means is these are the name servers that are authoritative for me. This should be the machine this file is on. You put a name server name here, and you never know why you put one when I got two. What one should it be? There's actually a structure to this. On your SOA record, you should put the name of the name server that actually has the text file you edit, your primary server. Here, you put both your primary, your secondary, and if you have three or four secondaries, but these should not be names that are not the same. They should be exactly the same as what the root server will tell me. In this case, they're not.
Are you going to go through writing one of these DNS?
Absolutely. I really hadn't expected that we would get an example like this early, but this one, I want to be sure I tear it apart enough. There's a lot of good information in here. There's a bunch of different things that are probably some of the most common ways DNS gets done wrong, and it's so easy to do. And your pattern is very common. You didn't quite know what your next step was, but you knew enough to take it anyway. And you did the standard thing, which is a step taken is better than not doing anything. I know if I don't do anything, it's not going to happen.
So he fixes this problem by going through his secondary name server.
He has to do two things to fix his problem. Number one, he's got to fix these three records in his file. If there's no machine NS1, so, well, you've made a CNAME to SoSyncNet out of, here's what you've actually done. You do have an NS1. Oh, you've made them all be the same machine in a very circular sort of way here, apparently. So you've CNAMED this one to be your main machine, and then you gave this one an A record that's the same as your main machine. So you did two different ways of aliasing things you made up. It's actually not a bad try for just being in there swinging, but you managed to get about all the ways you could do it all done in one move.
So I don't need that additional information.
No, I mean, you might want to do this. You might want to make NS1 SoSyncNet and make NS1 have the same address so that you could someday separate it. That's perfectly valid if you want to do that. You're given the same machine two names, SoSyncNet and NS1 SoSyncNet. That's perfectly valid. You might want to do that because then in the future, since you're going to register this name with the InterNIC, it gets real hard to change. So you might want to give it an alias now to retain flexibility to split it to another machine later.
That NS1.SoSyncNet needs to be registered with the InterNIC?
Well, you already registered as SoSyncNet, so you're past that. You got two options. One's to send an update registration into the InterNIC, tell them to change this to what it should be. Then you can change anything any way you want because you're going to send in the forms. If you decide, I just don't want to go back to the InterNIC. I got it. I've got my little hook in there. I want to do everything I can down here where I can control it to straighten it out. Then you go to ossinc.net and tell them to be secondary. You change this to sosync.net, take the NS1 off, and make this say sosync.net, and this one say NS1.OSSinc.net, exactly the same as what the InterNIC thinks they're called. The trick on this is to remember that this is a name server name of the name server this file actually resides on. And these are the two name server names that are exactly the same as the ones that are on file at the InterNIC that the root server will give you back. That's what they're supposed to be. So that fix you have to make on your personal file that you edit. Then the second fix you have to make is to go to ns.ossinc.net become secondary. The third one is, my guess is that when you filled out the form and sent this in, you gave them these two names and you didn't give them this IP address because you didn't know it yet. For SoSync.net on the form, you didn't give them the IP address. We can check that in the who is later on when we get into that. That's the registration part of this class. But we'll go on to another example and hope somebody doesn't like club us over the head quite this hard on the next move. Okay, we're going to start over again. Okay, what are we doing now? TNCWWNET.com. Oh, sorry. M as in Michael, not N as in Nancy. TMCWWNET.com. Okay, now where do we start this? We start by asking a root server. I'm asking non-recursive requests. The main name lookups are always done non-recursively because they want to do all the steps. If you ask recursive, what you're asking is for the person you're asking or the machine you're asking to do all remaining steps for you. That's what recursive means. Non-recursive means just tell me what you personally know about this name, including possibly nothing. So for what we're doing here, we're doing non-recursive requests because we're pretending to be a resolver doing the full resolver action. So we first go to the root server and... Oh, I see. That has a few too many O's in it, doesn't it? TMCWWNET.com. That's not going to work either, is it? I have a big bandage on my thumb. It's sure as hell going to be my excuse, whether it's the real reason or not, I'll tell you. I paid for this excuse in pain. So, what have we now learned from the root server? Right, and of course from here we have no idea which is primary and secondary because that's of no interest to us because both are supposed to be authoritative. And primary and secondary is just between the two how they get to be authoritative, how do they get the information shared. But yes, we have learned that there are two name servers and we got the A records on both of them. So we would probably go with NS1TMCWorldwideCom because it's first. I mean, it's totally random which one we would pick here. NS1.TMCWorldwide.com. And indeed, he is authoritative. However, we still have a slight error here. who knows the error here?
I didn't tell my secondary name.
You only have one of your two name servers listed in here. This is an error you'll never see. This will be an error with symptoms so subtle and so uncommon that only in a case like this will you find it, but you ought to fix it. And what we're really trying to do is point out what you're supposed to put in these databases. Because that's the key. What's supposed to be there? That's what you're trying to learn here. You did this right, possibly by accident, but that is your primary one, right? That's where this file is.
Yes.
Okay. Between the two, the one on your SOA is supposed to be the name server that actually holds this file. Up here, you only listed one of the two, which is probably why you lucked out here, but... This is the most difficult one. Nobody will ever quite tell you that straight out, that that's what that's supposed to be. But that is supposed to be the name server that holds the file. You have two name server records you should have. You only got one.
My secondary name server record.
Right. You just put another NS record here with whatever that other name was.
NS.TPS.com.
Right.
So I think he's going to fail on you. That's the other thing I want to say.
Well, we'll see. Does he know that he's supposed to be secondary?
He's supposed to.
Okay, well, you at least asked. That's a good start. If he didn't ask, if he hadn't asked, I'd be pretty sure he'd fail. So on that one, we're right. And so now, we're going to go, if we go back here, ns.cts.com is the other one. So to check it out, which is, if we were just a resolver, we'd have been done then, because we got what we needed. We got what we came for. Since we're now in the process of verifying our own name and being sure it's all right on all fronts, we're now going to go check the other one. So we're going to go ns.cts.com. So we'll do this again. Ask the same question of ns.cts.com. Oh. And indeed, he is not authoritative. You're beginning to see one of the most common DNS problems, aren't you? We're 2 for 2 on incorrect DNS setups and people that would have DNS issues and be surprised. And if you don't understand how it works, you're never going to figure it out. You're never going to get it fixed. You're going to live out there thinking your equipment's broke, your provider sucks. And it's all because you just don't have it set up right. This is that damn iPad DNS. I'll do some more, but what I want to do is if people starting to understand this, because the point here is not just for me to be the only one in the room who knows what we're doing, okay? The purpose here is for everybody here to understand this and understand the whys of it. You have to add this line in your file.
Right, and then
you need to contact him and say, this is my second call. You don't want a third. Because
okay.
I know how to look now. Phil told me he made me dangerous. And now you know how to check and see when he does it. You basically just keep doing this NS lookup to him until the NON dash goes away, and instead of getting this kind of action that says these are the servers, you get the same data that comes out of your machine. Yes. Yes, we're going to go through those files in a minute. This is all kind of interrelated, and the process I've chosen to try to go through here is first let's be a resolver and see how the system works, and that's how it's shaping up. Now the question is, I get it, I'm supposed to edit files, and by then we're now going to go to the files, you're supposed to be able to understand what each one's for. And when I say primary and secondary and all that, you know why. So there's a little bit of back and forth to do here, and I'm trying to stay away from the how do I do it until I understand what I'm trying to do. Other than I've said there's a file you edit that has the information on there, I've left it that vague right now till we understand the process. Does everybody understand this one? Yes. You have to have a secondary server because the InterNIC will not register a name without two servers.
Can the two servers be the same name?
The two servers cannot be the same name, and they cannot be the same IP address because the point of it's to have redundancy. They can be a spoof. You can give two addresses on your same class C to one iPad and give it two different names it'll respond to, and it's only one machine. I'll be glad to try another one. Let me clear this one out here. This one's easier than last time. We didn't have anywhere near as many problems this time. May have a lot more with yours. Oh, now I get it. This first one confused everybody. Now it's a challenge to see who can confuse them even more, huh? SBCCI.org, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So we're going to ask the root server, and the root server actually only says he knows one. Now that's unusual. Somehow you got this past them, because normally they will not authorize a name with only one.
The form actually, that's the problem I've been having. The form actually had two, I actually have in the form two numbers.
Well, we'll do a, We'll do a check on this and see if we can. It's busy during the day. This could be kind of brutal. This machine gets really slow during the day. They're supposed to. It's never been clear if they really do.
They don't if they are not set up yet.
Okay. No, this particular server has thousands of people on it all the time, and it's just really, really slow. This is a direct T1 connection to it. That's just how slow it is. About 3 or 4 in the morning, it's really snappy, but during the day, it's almost unusable. And it was SB. Yeah, I don't know how many backspaces I hit, and my echo is slow. I'm going to take a flyer at it. Probably going to get tagged. And this is latency not in the link. This is all in the computer on the other end. This is just a Sun workstation. Oh, that's right. You can't use backspaces. You got to use the delete key on this one, too, because it's a Unix box. SBCCI.org. It only shows one server registered. This basically should be a replay of your form.
The form when it came back did have two servers on it.
I am amazed they authorized it this way because they're not supposed to without two. They normally will bounce it back to you. Find out what happened, but in this case, you've only got one server listed.
Okay, and it's really odd that my first provider registered me as himself as both the first primary and secondary, but they were different.
Yeah. But yeah, you got an issue there, of which the real issue is I don't exactly understand how you... And by the way, this is later in the class. We're going to go through what that was. I just was curious how this happened, because this is not normal. And this comes from the form. This comes from the registry, so it's not something he could have done. Yes. I may have to come back and... Okay, I've got to do my NS lookup again. Yes. BCCI.org, and then what the heck was this called? Quick LNK. Quick Link in the second one. This is a name made up just to be confusing, isn't it? So these are for human beings, and they're supposed to simplify things, or they can be used to torture people with, I guess. And there we are, we got an authoritative response. Actually, given the situation you're in, I think everything is correct. Except it's questioned why is there only one server and why they let you get away with it.
Yep. Well,
because you're... Well, you have no SOA record.
Yeah, there.
Oh, there it is. Okay, yes. SOA, and it lists the server as it should. It says you only have one name server, which is for you. Is true. I don't know why, but it's true. And then here's your A record and your MX record. So yes, that looks all correct.
Now, would this normally show all the records that should be in there? Like I have some with some other records that I know of.
Under this name?
Well, besides this MCC.org, I have some other records. Would they also show up as well?
Anything with this name on it should be showing up.
Anything to the left of it, like third or...
That's different name. We're only asking about this name. We'd see those if we asked for those names.
I have a question on this record.
Yes.
Under his MX record, it goes SMTP as opposed to mail. What's the difference there?
Understand, these are just names. They're your names. You can make them up to be anything you want them to be.
Gateway.
He has an SMTP gateway. He thinks more of SMTP than he thinks of mail. For him, he relates to that term better. So he made it up. When you get to make up your own names, you make them up for yourself. They mean whatever they mean.
Mail is my MHS gateway.
Right. And that's what you do. I mean, you're just naming things, and everybody has a different sort of outlook on, and we'll make up different names. There's nothing magic or important about these names. They mean nothing, except what you make them mean by what you put in these files. It's the existence of these files that create meaning for the names. Okay? Is it? Are we supposed to break at 2:30 or? Okay. Why don't I introduce you to the files themselves, and then we'll break, and then afterwards we'll take a look at working with these files themselves and how we build this. Okay. I'm going to shut down this iPad. Pardon? You know, it might not be a bad idea. I'm about to cross the border to where my typing impairment's going to be an issue. Domain boot equals, and it lists a file in your iPad control. That is the pointer that says you want this server to be authoritative. And this is the file which in Unix is called the boot file. For no reason I'm really clear on why that's its name. It has nothing to do with booting your computer or anything else, but it's called the boot file. So I normally call it boot.nam, but you can absolutely, literally, these file names are up to you. You put it out here, it says in the iPad directory, subdirectory DNS, there'll be a file called boot.nam, and when the iPad comes up, it will go get this file and from it learn everything it's supposed to do as an authoritative DNS server. That's where it starts.
You have one line for every domain that you're...
In your iPad control file, you only have this line that says domain boot equals, and this is the file. Everything else starts, this is like the starting of a pyramid of how you tell it about your DNS, and it all starts in one file. Okay, now if you get out of here and go to DNS directory, and we'll edit that file. This file is a list of every other zone file, the things that you do. So it's a little tree. We point to this file, and it points to all the pieces that make up what you're doing. This file has got only a few commands. Directory is purely a shorthand. I don't want to type this on every file name, so I'm going to say, put it up here once, so that when I see a file like rootch, that's the same as saying /iPad/DNS/rootch. Purely a shorthand. That's all this directory command is. And you can put different files in different directories and use directories, or you can leave it out and just put the whole file name here if you just want to do that. It's up to you. The first file is the cache. The cache file specifies a list of all the root servers. You download this file from the internet with FTP, or we have it on our system here as well. And it comes, when you get an iPad, the current one comes. They change it. They've changed it, what, maybe two or three times in a year, would you say, something along those lines. So every few months, it's not a bad idea to go get the latest one and be sure it hasn't changed.
Say that again, that cache file you have to...
This file right here, remember I said that the one thing it knows is the addresses of the root servers, and you just have to know them? You know them because they're published in this file, which comes from the Internet Registry.
That's root. What's that?
Root.ch. Again, you can call it anything you want. I believe it's called root.named is what you get on their FTP site. It used to be called root.cache, and that's when I made up this name for it. They renamed it. Now it's root.named. And you FTP RS, Registry Services, rs.internic.net. And on that FTP site, you will find the file root.named. You simply FTP that file, rename it to something DOS can handle, anything you want. You could call that stupid.rot if you want. That'd be fine. All you're doing is this boot name file, you're telling it where you put it on disk so that the iPad can go find it. So cache is the keyword, means I'm loading the root servers. Dot means they're for the domain root. It appears to be commentary, but you have to put it there. So I'm doing the cache for the root domain, and this is the file it's in. Now let's get out of here and go look at that file.
So we can really change that to root.ch.
Root.ch. Again, all of these file names are just, it's just a little structure. The boot file tells it the names of the other files, and because that's the case, you can make them anything you want. Yes? You do it once, and then every so often, every few months, it's not a bad idea to go check and see if it's changed. Pardon?
Actually, all the real information is good that we're talking about.
Yes. And these are where you go get them. Oh, it's called named.root, apparently, under the domain subdirectory on this FTP server. And it's in there as comments. In these files, by the way, in all of these files, any line that starts with a semicolon is a comment. You can put them in. Doesn't slow anything down to do it, because every time the system loads it, it reads these and compiles them into a binary file. So here you can comment, and I would encourage you to comment it freely.
Does that say that file was updated November 8th?
That's what it says. It says that this file was the root cache as of November 8, 1995. So if we went and looked, we'd see if that's still the current one. If it's not, there's a new one. We'd get it, and we'd replace it on our machine. Yes?
What happens if it's not quite current?
If it's not quite current, it will mean that some of these root server names and addresses have changed. Probably the IP addresses have changed. And what will happen is you will try to go to this root server, and it won't be a root server, or it won't be there at all. If it's not there at all, it'll just slow things down. It'll time out, you'll move to the next one, and some of them will still be there same, and you'll finally find one. So it'll sort of slow things down, mostly. The worst, and I don't believe this will ever happen, because this is like the getting a phone number that used to be the hottest, the talk number for a radio station or something given to your house. They're never going to let anybody else be one of these numbers, I'm sure. The worst would be if there's another system there that's not a root server and it has this IP address. And you'd go to it thinking it was a root server and it would respond with, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, and then nothing would work. But I believe that this is a lot like the phone company. There's certain numbers, once they've been to like a radio station dial-in number or something, they're just not going to give them to people. And I believe that these IP numbers for the root servers would almost certainly have to fall in that same category. If they ever quit using them, I wouldn't think they'd start using them for something else. And certainly not for a long time. So most likely what would happen is that it will just get, everything will get really slow because it'll time out some root servers. And the longer you go and the more changes there are, you may have 10 root servers listed, of which maybe only two are still real. So it's like going to look like you can't get to root servers at all. They don't change them very often. But what you've got here basically is the name and the address of each root server. And you see, one of the things is they used to be called NS Internet Net, and they went through and renamed them all to A dot root servers, B dot. They used to all have independent names. That's one of the biggest changes they did about this time. So scroll down that a little bit, Chris, and you can see that that's really all this is. It's a list of all the root servers. They could add more, they could change them, and as far as you're concerned, you have only one goal. Whatever the latest file is, that's the one you want. When you first bring it up, it'll start with them in this order. As it runs, it will learn which ones operate better and worse, and it'll sort the list dynamically to try to keep them as best it can. Yes? Yes. That is correct. The part about how it knows. This is why it knows. And this is what it knows.
You were manually asking for this person.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's why I knew that A dot root, I just happen to know that this is how they're named now, so I can just do that. But yes, this is where you go to learn that. Okay, get back out of that now and go back to the boot NAM file. Now, you'll notice that that's all that's in this file right now. There's a couple of things down here that say these are some templates for what you would do for a forward and a reverse, but there's comments right now. So that means that this DNS server as it sits here is not authoritative for anything. It's a server that can go look a bunch of stuff up and can serve as a slave for a stub resolver, but it's not authoritative for anything. If we wanted to make it authoritative for the great name domain.com, we'd take this out. Primary on domain.com says, I'm primary. This is where the actual data file is going to sit. This is the domain that I am primary for, domain.com. That's what the internet knows this much and has pointed it here. This is the file on disk that has the data for this zone of authority. And zone of authority being all the information about domain.com. So we have skeletons of those on there, don't we? So now we would edit domain.nam, and it would basically, this is kind of a roughed out template to fill in real quick. And it says nsdomain.com, which isn't, that's really lab.esoft.com, I think. We change that to lab.esoft.com. These are just some suggested, you take ns off the front of it. And this would go to hostmaster.esoft.com, say that's the email for who runs this thing and would want to know. You have a separate file like this for each domain. You'll notice that this looks a lot like what NSLookup returns. There are some shortcuts to filling this out. This starts with an @ up here. The @ means copy in here what was in the primary or secondary field that said domain. Remember, it said domain.com? If you look at, means the @ means copy this